Good morning and welcome to our service, March 29th, from a very isolated church. I hope this finds you well, I hope this finds you safe, and I hope that over this next short time that we spend together, you will be very aware of God's peace and his presence. Later on, we're going to be looking at John 11, and the message of hope that we find, even in the waiting for Jesus to turn up for the death of Lazarus and all that has happened there. We really want to encourage you, we're all in this space of waiting and not being sure as to what is happening. We here at Kill want you to know of God's love and the certainty that there is in his love, and from that certainty, hope. And over this next short time that we spend together, know that even in isolation, you are not alone. But let's just take a time now to pray. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm this morning that we are going to focus in on is Psalm 130. And in this psalm, I want you to think of the words and how they speak to your heart and where you have been over these last few days or where you wish you had been. And in this coming week, where you want to be reminded of God's presence and what God has for you and for your soul. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to mark what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the night watch for the morning. More than the night watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
The reading today is from John chapter 11, starting at the first verse. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, and they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. But Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews were with her in the house, consoling her. When they saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. When he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. He said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jono, for that long reading. No one is going to get away from that in these times. Let me just pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray it brings wisdom and blessing and challenge and encouragement to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something about this story about Mary and Martha and the expectation of Jesus. And when I think of waiting, I don't think any of us have even had this as a thought as to what waiting would look like. Waiting to hear the news, what is coming up next. Even in this pre-recorded service that we are doing, things could change from this day to the next, and we are wondering what is coming. And Jesus gets word, he hears of their plight of Lazarus, and they are having to wait for 2 days. What do we do in our waiting? And Jesus, in his word, says, God is going to be glorified. God is going to be glorified. I have been so encouraged by some of the different stories that we've been hearing on the news of these incredible acts of kindness from so many different people. And it has been a challenge, I think, even to the church as to our relevance. Do we just depend on our services? Do we depend on our Sunday mornings or our Tuesday prayer meetings or our Wednesday Holy Communions? What does church actually mean for us if at the heart of church there is no relationship? Relationship is key, and we see Jesus later on in his tears. Why is he in tears? Because he has relationship. There is depth, there is heart, and there is suffering. I'm sure you heard the story throughout the week of the priest who gave up his ventilator to pass on to a younger boy who needed help. The priest passed, but the younger boy was helped. What an incredible picture of Jesus. We are seeing incredible pictures of Jesus in postmen, in people who are working in the shops, who are stocking up our shelves so we can go and get what is needed, what is required. And yet in this time of isolation, I am so aware of so many of the other temptations and the other vices that might be sucked onto people or they look for because of the lack of hope or the things that people will do out of boredom. I wonder of the stories of these areas of secrecy that have been around for so many years that now are coming into the light because there is no escape. And the women are waiting for Jesus because in their minds, in their hope, where oil has been poured to anoint and was received so welcoming, they are now waiting in expectation of what Jesus has for them. And they wait. And they wait. In this season that all of us find ourselves in this waiting period, where are we looking for Jesus? Or do we feel that Jesus is not going to turn up? That actually I am alone. And so I will turn to drink. I will turn to drugs. I will turn to porn. I will turn to my emotions of anger and of rage and take it out on those around me in whom I love but annoy me. These are all very scary and real pastoral issues that all of us have a role to play in helping one another, to remind one another of the light and life that Jesus is. I have been deeply moved and encouraged of hearing of different stories of people connecting via WhatsApp, emails, text messages, phone calls. I'm even hearing of parishioners, not going to name names, who are doing hopscotch as they go out for walks. I'm loving these pictures. We might even get this done together as a church activity when we come back. But the beauty is relationship is key. We are the church. We all are part of the priesthood. And I want to encourage you to be that light of Christ for everyone. Those that you see on the street, wave and smile. Say thank you. Be encouraging. Leave a note of encouragement or buy an Easter egg for someone in Supervalue or Tesco or Dunn's or wherever you meet and just buy and say, this is for you. Thank you. How can we share this light of Christ with those around us? You see, Jesus does come to meet us, but in his meeting of us, as he has, and for years, for decades, as the church, we have known this meeting. We have known what he means to us. This is our time to reveal it to those around us. I want to encourage you to bring that hope to those in your homes. I want to encourage you to bring that hope to your postman. Bring that hope to those that you're meeting in the shops, even from distance. Be the light. And as Jesus brings life back into Lazarus because of relationship, you can bring life into those around you because of relationship. On our website, www.kotg.ie, you will find different services that we have, our prayer services, evening prayer services, these services that will be recorded, our communion services. I encourage you, if you are on your own or if you are with other people in your house, break bread together. All of us have this privilege and this gift of being able to receive what Jesus wants us to receive, which is life. And for where you have silence, be wise and intentional as to what you do with that silence. Look for Jesus. Look for his glory. Look how you can look back and see where his glory was in this season. I want to encourage you to love well. Be the church in how you communicate. Discipleship. Our identity with Jesus now is so important. We still get to be involved with discipleship and relationship right now. Even when we are distant, we get to come close to God and we bring his closeness to those around us. Amen. Bert is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. In this time of crisis and uncertainty, we turn our attention to God, however strong or however weak our faith might be. Whoever is listening, wherever you are, make sure you are sitting comfortably and take a deep breath. Some words from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my prayer. He lifted me from the desolate place, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song inside my mouth, a song of praise to God. Lord, we give you families and those who live alone, families with children, with teenagers, with elderly relatives, not being able to move very far. Give us strength for today, hope for tomorrow, and wisdom to make the very best use of the hours we need to fill. We give you those who live alone and living on the telephone. May they still feel themselves to be part of the human family and the family of faith worldwide. We give you our people in hospital and all the medics who are looking after them. We give you our older people in nursing homes, unable to see their families. And we give you those who are due to be tested for the virus. Our times are in your hands. We thank you for that hidden strength which surfaces where it is needed. We thank you for that inspiration which often comes unbidden. But we know that when we ask you for either, you will give it. But so as not to forget the rest of the world, let's recall the International Prayer of Peace, or the International Prayer for Peace. Lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead us from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. Let us dream together, pray together, work together to build one world of peace and justice for all. Amen.
As you receive this blessing, know that this blessing is for you and for everyone that you think of, pray for, and connect with in this coming week. May you know the life of Jesus in your heart. May you know the presence and peace of God the Father in your dwelling place. And may you listen and open your ears to the words of Holy Spirit as you are guided and wooed to connect with those around you, even from distance. Be the light of Christ. Be the presence of God and the voice of Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.